So we're going to have Amanda as a guest today on Are You Watch. She's going to discuss how you can make proper video. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Amanda. Welcome to Are You Watch.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited too. How are you? How is the corona pandemic and all?
It is good, personally. It's like I had some, you know, downsides like everyone had in terms of business, but I'm healthy, I'm safe. Luckily, I live in the same city as my family, which is awesome because then I actually have some people to hang out with. So I'm not totally isolated alone. But here it's shelter in place. No one can leave the house except for essentials. And then everyone has to wear a mask whenever you leave.
Yeah. That's great. May we see the end of this pandemic. So welcome to Are You Watch. Let's just go dive straight into it. I'm excited. Sure. So I remember the first time I watched your video, it was 2018, I think, in October. You had, I think, 240 subscribers on YouTube at that time.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, why is she like having like thousands of subscribers? Because she's giving out value, you know? And I just wanted to like motivate you to keep on doing it, because I watched the first video I watched was about video script writing and how to make a proper marketing video and brand video also. So it was really valuable and so straightforward, and I was like, wow, like this is the channel to subscribe. And I was like, okay, I have to keep on like following Amanda all the way. So let's just go straight to it. If you can tell us about yourself, for people in Area World to know about you, and then we can go from there.
Totally. So I ran a video marketing company for 6 years, started it out in Los Angeles, moved to Austin about 3 years ago or something like that. And during that time, got to work with really amazing brands and entrepreneurs. But something inside me just felt like something was missing, like something was wrong. And every client that I worked with, I felt like I couldn't fully, they weren't fully invested in video, and I would suggest things and then they wouldn't buy-in was very challenging, right? To go and say, hey, we need to do consistent video to really be effective. No one was willing to really, you know, make that happen because one, it's super expensive or it takes up tons of your time, right? So I was like, you know what? Screw it. If no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it for myself and show them that this is possible. And I also saw it as a massive opportunity for just like with the technology coming out and how video was evolving and how every single person has their own distribution platform now with Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all the things. So I said, you know what, this is a great time for a newbie to hop on and just start making waves and kind of catch up.
I remember the first, when you made your first earlier videos, I think you sent them to someone for him to edit for you and then send back to you or something like that. Eventually, yeah. So the next question I'm going to ask is, what were the struggles that you faced while going through your 6 years of video making? And how did you overcome these struggles?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the biggest struggle that a lot of people face, and I certainly faced it, was the first one, which is getting comfortable on camera. Yeah. Like my heart would be racing so fast that you could hear it through the microphone. And it was, I guess I dealt with a ton of anxiety associated with it. And it wasn't even a conscious fear. It was like a subconscious thing. Like I sat down in front of the camera and my body just started kind of freaking out. Like my throat would close up kind of, and I wouldn't be able to get my words out, and I'd be shaking and awkward, you know? And so I started by being completely alone in the room with the camera and just kind of getting through the fear of it alone and messing up and starting over. And, the first like several videos that I filmed were actually for an outsourcer training. So like the outsourcers that I was using at the time for my video marketing company, it wasn't going so well and they needed to be trained. So I like systematized my process and then taught that to them. And so the first several videos weren't even released publicly.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So I remember also one of your videos, you're talking about how you burn out. And so for example, people who are starting video newly or like newbies, they feel like, okay, we have to put all the effort now. So how can they like stretch it not to burn out?
Yes. Okay. Great point. So yeah, at the end of last year, hitting the year and a half mark, my video was literally like, guys, I'm going crazy. I can't do this anymore. I sat down, I did one take, like a one take video where I was just rambling for 15 minutes about the challenges and how like the people that are successful are the ones that really push through that moment in time where you don't really want to be filming content, but you do it anyway. So I made it a New Year's resolution. I was like, no more. I am not doing week to week content, because what happens with burnout is when you start falling behind in your content calendar and your schedule. So I was creating weekly video, but I would get to the point where I didn't have a video for this week, and I'd be creating it, shooting it, creating it, doing all the things, editing it, thumbnail, whatever, all in one day, and it was burning me out, right? So what I did this year was I marked on my calendar, like every 4 weeks, I'm filming 4 to 5 videos, and I did it consistently, including the time that I was in the midst of my course launch. It was like 2 days before I did my first course launch, and I said, nope, it's on the calendar. I am not pushing it because this is a New Year's resolution. It's January and I'm going to film these videos. So I made it happen, and I have like 6 weeks worth of content shot right now. And I've been pulling on that content for probably already like 5 videos before that. So I had like, you know, 9 weeks of content completed just by staying consistent on that schedule. So I really think that's the key to not burning out, is just being proactive, having a batch of content that you have before you even release your first video, and then making sure no matter what happens, you hit record.
So we have some comments from the audience. Lambagni is saying that he agreed, I'm going to start making a content calendar. It is huge when you are doing a video editing, posting and thumbnailing. Then Sibel said, great. And then Mr. Khalifa, he said, Amanda, before we send our questions, we love your smile.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
So before we go into how to make proper video, like, tell us a little bit about your online course, about how, like, what does it take for someone to join, and is it for everyone, and what are the procedures?
Yeah, totally. So my online course is called the DIY Video Roadmap, and it is made to get you through the learning curve of video. It's for someone that wants to produce content that is good enough. It's not going to make them look bad, right? So many people are worried that, you know, their video looks like a 5-year-old created it, and they don't want to release it because all their other content is high level, high quality and stuff. So it's exactly what you need to know. So I have boiled it down to the basics, the exact steps. It's exactly what gear to buy at 3 different tier levels, from iPhone to the camera that I'm personally using. And then exactly how to set it up. Like, I'm there with you, showing you the menu, showing you how to do it, where to put the lights, everything. And then exactly how to edit. And that's within Premiere Pro. So I personally have all my systems set up in Premiere Pro. Absolutely love the Adobe Creative Cloud suite. So I focus my efforts there, and I highly encourage other people to do the same so that they can follow the systems, because I'm saving you tons of time.
Yeah, so we have a question that Khalifa is asking, is it free? And Carlos Mazzarino is saying the video roadmap is amazing. She walks you step by step. So excited.
He's a student. What's up, Carlos?
Yeah, so we're having good feedback from students also. How much does it cost for someone to join the video?
Yeah, so great question. So the way that it works is every quarter I launch it. So the first one I did in January, and I'm going to be launching it here again very soon. So I'm currently getting feedback from everyone that's been going through the program and And that's been my focus for the last 2 weeks, is just how can I make this better? How can I get people through the learning curve even easier? So if you are interested, I think it's amandahorvath.site, and maybe Carlos can put the link in.
Put the link.
You can write it in the comments. But it's amandahorvath.site/DIY. It will lead you to the page where you can sign up for the wait list for when it does launch. I don't have the exact date. I'm trying to speed it up because of the whole coronavirus situation. Like, everyone is like, hey, how do I have time finally to do video. How do I do it? Yeah. So it will be coming soon. I don't know exactly the date, but soon.
Yeah. So we have another comment. It said, Amanda, you are an example of entrepreneurship. Nice program. Sounds familiar. I can't wait to meet with Amanda on Tuesday. So how do you feel, Amanda, when the first time, like someone all the way from, let's say, the other part of the world sending you a message, say, okay, I watched your video. It's great. You're putting out great content. How does it feel?
When someone gives me compliments, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's very reassuring because, oh, there you go. He did the website link. So it's reassuring because when you start creating content, as you know, right? Like, you're killing it right now with all your stuff. Like, you've stood out. I've like talked to you about it. I think it's amazing. You're putting content out before you have that reassurance that people even care. So everyone thinks like it's kind of the cart before the horse situation. Like, I don't know if I have anything valuable to say. Well, you're going to have to say it before people tell you that it's valuable. So yeah. Whenever someone says, hey, this is helping so much, then it's just like, oh, thank you. Like, my efforts are paying off. Like, I can give you an example. Last week, I created a video about like my top 7 tips for launching my first online course. And I was in the valley of content creation, just like, oh, this is so long. Is anyone gonna watch this whole thing? I've put so much work into this. I don't even know if the keywords are gonna be valuable.
Yeah.
And then I posted it and the comments were like amazing. So it was like, okay, like, Amanda, you just gotta get over your self-doubt, and all of you guys too, and just like push through, because there's people out there that you can serve.
Yeah. So we're going to go to the question on how to make proper marketing video. But before then, tell us the first time you made a podcast, and then you had like the panic attack and all that.
Oh my gosh.
And then you couldn't talk and all that. So that the audience, those who want to make videos, they will have it. They will see, okay, it's not just them. Like, they can have this stage fright and how to.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It is so not just you. And while I answer this question, I have to turn off my air filter that's making some noise back here. So just one second. Okay, then I can hear you better.
Yeah.
So I got onto Social Media Examiner podcast, which is like one of the top podcasts within my industry. Put this back on the stand. Sorry, moving around. Okay, and it was super exciting to get the like invitation. I totally felt okay about it. Until the day before the podcast, he had like written out questions, and I was at the time still trying to figure out what story to share. Like, I'm in the middle of a pivot. I hadn't launched my online course yet. And so there's a lot, it's really challenging to tell your story. And I'm sure you've found that to be the case too. It's like, which parts do you tell? Like, there's so much to it. So he asked the question, like, okay, so just to kick it off, like, tell us your story. And then I'd start talking, and then I'd be like, this is not right. And I'd get all in my head about it. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm so sorry. Like, let's start again. I didn't really like the way that I said that. And then he's like, okay, that's fine. Like, let's ask the question again. And then I do it again. And I was like, Amanda, what is going on with you? Like, you need to pull your shit together. You know?
Yeah.
like, make it happen. And essentially, like, he had to talk me off the cliff for like 45 minutes of like, you know, you don't need this podcast. Like, you're going to be okay. You know, maybe we didn't choose the right topic. And this is like, you know, one of the top guys in the industry. And in this, he told me the week before, like, if you do great on this podcast, you will be invited to be a speaker at Social Media Marketing World, which would be huge. Right. I obviously did not get invited as a speaker. Totally butchered the podcast. But it's like afterwards, like I finally did it. I got through the podcast and it ended up being an amazing podcast, as Carlos was saying.
Yeah, Carlos said it's awesome.
and so you guys can totally go check that out. But afterwards, you know, it's not about falling down. Like, it's good to fail. It's about how you get back up afterwards. And it was like, you know what? This is not going to define me. I don't need to hide under a rock. In fact, I can use this as an example for other people that are dealing with the same thing. You can move forward while scared.
Yeah. So I actually had the same problem, because I quit my job to just start this, because I was tired of reporting every day and doing that. I was like, okay, I have to do something for myself. So I was scared to move on. And then I said, you have to just go with the fear. Just go with the flow. So we have a question from Khalifa. He asked, what's your response to criticism?
What's my response to what?
Criticism. If someone criticizes you, so how do you respond to them?
Oh, if someone criticizes you. Okay. You know, I have been fortunate in that I haven't had tons of criticism, which I think a lot of people are scared of that when they first start. But most people are just impressed that you're even taking action. But if someone was to criticize my work, which occasionally they do pop up and they say something, it's like, if you click over and look at their profile, they have nothing on there. You know?
At least you're producing something, yeah.
Yeah, and someone said at one point, like, if someone is ahead of you, they'll never, like, judge you for the things that you're doing and the way that you're learning. It's just the people that are kind of in the sidelines, like the whole analogy of being in the stands versus on the field. It is a whole different game when you are on the field, taking action, putting yourself out there. So if someone in the stands is judging you, just don't let it bother you. So I try to take that mindset.
So we have another question from Lambagni. He's asking, I'm wondering if either of you do Spotify podcasts. Do you do Spotify podcast?
Here, sorry, my dog distracted me. Say that one more time.
Like, he's asking if you do Spotify podcast.
Okay, wait. If I do what podcast?
Spotify. On Spotify.
Spotify podcast. Okay. Yeah. I don't personally have a podcast. So I know that there's, like, you know, there's podcasts that are on Spotify or on iTunes. I can tell you, like, as of right now, where I'm at is, if someone invites me to do a live or to get on a podcast, I don't care how big their audience is. Like, I am going to do it, because first off, I'm going to support other content creators that are also doing a good job and putting themselves out there. And also, like, who, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big name or anything, and I'm happy to get the practice, you know, especially
You're getting there. When you look at how you came from 240 subscribers to now 6,000 something on YouTube, you're like, you're getting there, and you're going to be a big name someday. God willing.
Yeah, and it's all about the mindset. Like, when I started, I knew that I was going somewhere and I was going to be in it for the long run. And I remember getting my second subscriber. I have no idea how I got the first. I think I just randomly got one subscriber somehow. It might even be me on another account. I don't know. But I was at a bar and I was talking to someone and I was like, yeah, I'm starting a YouTube channel. And they were like, oh, that's awesome, I'll follow you. And I'm sure they were thinking, like, you know, this is just going to be like whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I knew I only have 2 subscribers right now, but, like, I'm in it to win it, right?
So we have another comment. We're going to go to the question on how to make proper video, but we like to take it to make it interactive with the audience and all. So Lambagni is still asking. He said, okay, my instructor went to that the 5 years I want to go someday. Okay, he's talking about how he wants to be like you in 5 years. And then Carlos is talking about how you've been in your head. He loves the story because it reminds him of
we have negative
self-talk. So tell us about how you got into your head, the story about how you got into your head, since Carlos loved the story.
I wonder which story he's talking about specifically.
So
and
Carlos
ironically, Carlos is the person that in the video where I'm like, you can hear someone off camera and they're like, you can hear your heartbeat through the microphone. That was Carlos. I'm so embarrassed, but so the story about being in my head, I mean, I can just talk generically about being in your head, Carlos, if you want to clarify.
You said it was the podcast story.
Oh, the podcast story. So I don't know specifically. I'm not really sure how to answer that, but I think like in general, whenever I get in my head, whenever I feel anxiety, fear popping up, I love to, oh, he said you already told it.
You already told it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So we're just skipping that. So Khalifa is asking, how lucrative is the industry money-wise? Nigerians, you know, we like a lot of money. So how lucrative it is it?
For me, the industry. So it's so interesting because being a content creator is one thing, running a business is another thing, and then connecting the two is a whole nother thing, right? So I literally, you can like right now, like all day, I've been working on like my value ladder and how I am getting people from free content into my paid programs. Yeah. And it is a little bit of a learning curve to make it happen. So I'm very much still in the early stages. Like I took a hit. I had a couple of clients in person that I was working with and I'm essentially losing $3,500 a month from that until we do the whole social distancing thing again. So I'm doing a launch coming up. The course industry is very lucrative. It's amazing. Like online courses, I've been wanting to do them for 6 years, knowing that it's more of a passive income. You're not trading time for money, which is my big goal in life. And so, and you get to help more people and actually get people results for a lower price point compared to, you know, accepting thousands of dollars for a video that they can film themselves.
Yeah.
So I am so happy with the route that I'm on, and I believe it will be incredibly lucrative as I continue trucking.
Going. So we have a question from Usman Abba. He's asking, when you have tons of idea or video concept, how do you streamline on which idea to go for?
Okay, great. Yeah. Ideas, like, they pop up all the time. It's shiny object syndrome. I just heard this the other day. You can't have overwhelm and action at the same time. And I love that. So if you're coming up with ideas constantly, just focus on action. And I'm big into the one thing, which is like, what is the one thing that you can do that would make all the difference? Or what is the one thing that you can do such that by doing it would make everything else easier or unnecessary? And so I think narrowing down your ideas, like what is the thing that will make the biggest difference compared to any other thing, focus your efforts there. So I always say, like, do not you be on multiple platforms. That's a perfect example. Like TikTok right now, right? I could go spend time on TikTok, or I could spend time working on my value ladder and how I'm actually going to make money, right?
So Pradip GRG is asking, you have a YouTube channel? Yeah, she has a YouTube channel, Amanda Hovert on YouTube. So you can check that out. So let's go to the question of the day. How can someone now make a proper marketing video? What and what do they need to follow? The first one I watched on the script writing, you have like 5 steps. And then, so if you could go over that, I think it will be very valuable for people listening and also those who want to make a proper video.
Yeah, totally. So the video that he's talking about is, it's how to write a promotional video script, and it's my framework for creating brand videos. So a brand video is the video that lives on the homepage of your website. So you land there, it tells you exactly who you are, who you serve, what the first step is that someone can work with you. So after making hundreds of those, I boiled it down to, this is how you make that. So the 5 steps are, you start with the problem. So what is the main problem that your customer is facing? and then you go into the solution, which is going to be your brand. So it's like, are you struggling with video content? I'd like to help. I've created X, Y, and Z kind of thing. And then from there, you have 3 to 5 key points that someone needs to know in order to make a decision. So this is the, think about like just the bare bones basics. They can click through underneath the video and read all of the fine prints or whatever. I don't recommend putting your pricing in the video because then you can change your pricing whenever you want. Yeah. So 3 to 5 key points that will help them make a decision. You can think about hesitations that they might have and then reverse engineer those to key points. Then you go into testimonials if you have them. So yeah, what if you can get that person on camera, whether they are actually filming themselves, sending you a testimonial, make sure they send it to you in the right orientation. If you're doing vertical, do it vertical. If they're doing horizontal, it's the worst. It takes so much to get a testimonial from someone. And then if you get it in the wrong orientation, So then you end with a call to action. My light is getting super intense. Let me turn this down. It's getting dark over here. So end with a call to action, and the call to action is one step that they should take. So reach out to us is a common call to action. And this you can say in your video, or you can just have an end card with like reach out with your website or whatever. So never start your video with a logo. So many people do that. It's like the biggest mistake that people make. End it. You could end it with a logo and a call to action though. So yeah, that's those are the 5 steps to write a promotional video script.
Carlos actually posted the link. So office@amandahovert.com episode 1. So you could check that out if you are interested.
And, go Carlos. Carlos is killing it.
Carlos is killing it today. So we have a question from Pradeep. He said, I have a YouTube channel, how to grow it, I think he wants that, and still not monetize. How does he grow the channel, please?
Totally. So it's so interesting. I was just, and actually I think it still might be going on, TubeBuddy, which is a free plugin that you can use for Chrome, and you sign in with your YouTube channel, and it can, you can type in keywords and figure out what keywords are good, what are not good. And it just has a meter and it says good, very good, bad, you know. So that makes it a little bit easier. But they're actually doing a 24-hour live stream right now with tons of different creators. And I was watching it yesterday, and one of the things that seriously stood out to me was Daryl Eves, who is one of the big creators on YouTube. He also owns the biggest conference for YouTubers called VidSummit, which I've gone to every year. He said, stop creating keyword-rich videos. And I was like, what? Like, I hate doing keyword research. It is miserable. I'm like, well, looking to pass it off. And it is important. But his point was, like, focus on the psychology of your customer, which is always what I have said from the get-go. What is it that your customers are struggling with? Choose those topics and focus on those. And when you do that and you kind of string together multiple different topics that people are genuinely interested in, and you're framing it in a way of what they think they want versus what you think they need, right? So like if they're searching for, they're likely not going to be searching for the topic that you think they need. I know it's talking abstractly, but it's like, if I had called the brand video framework video, like if I was like brand video framework, no one would find it. But instead it was how to write a promotional video script, right?
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of like think differently about it. But so long as you focus on a genuine group of people, the people that you want to serve, and you help them like get from problem to problem, solving these little problems at a time, your channel will take off, and so long as you stay consistent.
Consistency is the key. So we have a question from Ian Ross. He said, I did some videos. Any cost effective method to outsource for a beginner?
Yes. Okay. I am seriously obsessed with outsourcing. I've been outsourcing for 6 years. It is a big problem in terms of training editors. Like I said, my first ever videos were training editors. So the tips for outsourcing that I have, first off, onlinejobs.ph is a great way to find editors. I have editors that are $6 an hour, which is like, oh, this is amazing. I can afford them, you know, kind of thing. So anyone can afford them. But when you hire someone like that, make sure that you have outlined how you personally edit your videos. Yeah. So I always say it is a great practice to learn how to edit first before you outsource. And then you're outsourcing execution, not ideas. So if I send random footage to someone, it's not going to come back the way that it's envisioned in my brain.
Yeah.
I have to get it on paper and outline it. And then be willing to fail with that person multiple times. I've personally found that outsourcers in the Philippines, which is onlinejobs.ph is a Filipino run agency. To learn. Like, they are excited to learn. They're excited to take your projects. So just work with them a few times. Make sure that they're following instructions. Like, the second that it seems like they're cutting corners,
yeah,
just nix that. But to really answer your question, I actually have a video coming up. It accidentally got released this week on the channel, so I had to delete it and go back and do all the things. But it is a video on how to create what they call proxies, which are smaller video files. Actually, no, that's another video coming out, but that's coming out too. This video is more about like the entire process, but I can give it to you guys real quick. So the way that I do it, and I know I'm rambling, so I'll wrap this up here, but the way that I do it is I actually create the project file within Premiere Pro for my editors, which if you go through my program, then you're gonna learn how to do Premiere Pro and you'll be able to do all this too. So you create the project file, you create what they call proxies, which are smaller versions of your video files. Now, if you're shooting on an iPhone, you likely don't need to compress them. It's only if you're shooting with a DSLR and you're getting these big files and you're trying to send them over the internet and it's a pain in the butt. So you create proxies, keep an eye out for the video on how to do that. Then you send that to them. They attach those proxies, which I think I also explained in the video how to do that. And then they edit using that, send you back the Premiere project file. You could reconnect the high resolution footage and then export. Mm-hmm. So I know that sounds complicated. Just stay tuned for the video.
So we have two questions. Pradeep GRG is asking how to make YouTube intro logo, YouTube intro with logo. Okay. And then we have a very long question. It says, I know since I started YouTube channel covering sports ETC, there is a channel that I subscribe to and does intro before the video with all times highlight ETC. Any good advice for that?
Okay. So covering sports, etc. There's a channel that I subscribe to that does intros before the video with all time highlights.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. My boyfriend just joined the stream. Hey, Sam. I love this. People are coming over. I guess I'm not sure I totally understand that
question. I don't understand the question as well. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to clarify, we'll totally go into that.
Exactly. The next question is, I do record with an iPhone to make it easier and save money, but I'm going to order a tripod soon, potentially, possibly.
Yeah.
Like intro questions, also one I'm wondering about. Okay,
cool. Questions. So I'd say for creating a YouTube intro, I think that's what people are talking about. I am really big into a website called Motion Array. It's ARRAY. And it has tons of different templates. It is a subscription-based website but you can cancel after you get your subscriptions. They're going to tell you you can't use the things after you cancel, but anyway.
You get what you
So,
get.
yeah. So that they have a ton of like templates for plug and play kind of graphics that you can throw into. And if you are going to do that, if you are going to have some sort of intro for your videos, be sure to do the hook for your video before you play that intro. So like I said, I have a rule where you don't put the logo as the first thing, and that's because no one cares about you, right? Like, sadly, it's true. So you say, in this video, we're going to talk about X, Y, and Z. Then you have your little intro that's cool, it's branded, it tells people what you do, and then you go into your content. So, Motion Array, plug and play. Another one is videohive.net.
Yeah, I don't know if you do hype.
Yeah.
So, we don't want to take much of your time. We have like 3 minutes left. So, audience, we're going to take maybe three more questions and then we let Amanda go because we've been talking for 40 minutes. That's a lot of time, and time is
You're
money.
so good at this, by the way. Like you're the way that you like run it's cool. It's a talent to be able to interview. So yeah,
All right.
go you.
I was trained for that, but anyway, thank you.
If you're in my audience and came over to the live stream, definitely go follow his channel because
Thank you.
he's
Yeah.
killing
So,
it.
Labadi is saying to avoid copyright using the videos that are highlights, like top of bracket touchdown. Okay, I don't get that. And
Avoid
also,
copyright using the videos that are highlights like top Packers touchdown. Oh, I get what he's saying.
okay, I didn't get it.
Yeah, so what he's saying is if you're doing recap sports type stuff, how do you avoid using footage? I mean, that's honestly great question. The answer is I'm not totally sure. It's always a blurred line in terms of using other people's videos. And you didn't hear this from me, but there is a video plugin called 4K Video Downloader, and you can take any video on YouTube and download it in the highest resolution that is available. And then you can just like plug and play that into your edits. And it's the likelihood of someone finding that you've used their footage is very low, but just kind of walk the line with it.
And also, I think you can use probably a second or 2 or 3 seconds, not more than 10 seconds of someone's video. Even with, I don't know, I'm like, while I was in the media, while I was in the news department, news field, we used to like, we can take like 10 seconds of a video without like any copyright violation from it. Nonetheless, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, you're
So.
right. I think that's true. And if you're changing the integrity of the original piece, then you have like a creative license to be able to use it as well. So, or
Yeah,
you can just
so
add credit like in the corner.
just add credit to it. Okay, this video is from so so place. I think it'd be you'd be safe. So Rookie said, well, I hope I'm not late because I want to learn about you are late. Just send your question. We're taking two more questions and then we'll let Amanda go. Just send your question about video making or YouTube or anything. So last questions before Amanda leaves. So yeah. First I would like to okay, Amanda, just brief us again about your online class. So that people will get to know it. And then thank you for joining Aria World today. It's wonderful having you actually on the channel. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, thanks so much for having me. This is so awesome. I love doing this. It inspires me to do more Instagram lives, so very cool. If you are on here and you want to get started with video, I highly, highly, highly recommend doing my quick start guide to video. So it's amandahorvath.site/quickstart. It's a three-part video series. You're going to learn your first five video topics, how to write your explainer statement, which is the statement that I recommend using in every video that you create. It describes who you are, and then also how to structure your scripts. So that will also get you onto my email list, which I just send out one newsletter a week, so
Weekly,
a weekly
yeah.
newsletter with my latest video. And then when I do launch the online course, you'll be the first one to hear about it. So.
Yeah. So you have to follow. There's a link. This Carlos shared a link earlier to be on the short list, but anyway. So I think, yeah, I will. So this is the end of the program. I took so much of Amanda's time. nonetheless, Amanda, thank you very much for talking to us on Ariwal. And for the audience, don't forget to follow Amanda, subscribe to her YouTube channel, and also you can follow her on Instagram at Our Visions with S. Yeah, she makes a lot of videos. She makes a lot of value, actually, of entrepreneurship videos and all that. So yeah, thank you so much for talking to her, to us on Ariwal, and have a good day in America. Well, it's night here, so have a good day.
Well, for my followers, you should quickly say what you do too.
Okay, so right, okay. For Amanda's followers, I'm Abdullahi Kaka. I used to be a journalist. Then I quit journalism because I think it's too propaganda stuff. So I hated it. Then I said, okay, I need to make an impact to the community, society. So after I stopped journalism, I started this Aria World to support young people from Nigeria, mostly to encourage them to pursue their own careers and not to waste their time for money. You know, like you when you go to work, you work for somebody, they pay you, but they take your time. So you don't make any positive impact to yourself. So I stopped working in 2018 and now I'm still alive. I'm doing well. And I made two applications. If I was working, I wouldn't have time to make those applications. Like I have application for Aria World. Like you can download it if you want. I post a podcast on how to make proper business and all that. So yeah, basically that's what I do. And yeah, for Amanda's followers, that's just me.
Yeah, it's so inspiring. I love what you're doing. So it makes
Snem Yilmaz is actually one of my colleagues while I was in this, while I was working as a journalist, and she's saying bravo Kaka. So yeah,
awesome. I love it. Well, seriously, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time, Amanda.
And they're asking what's your YouTube name. So I think it's Amanda Horvat.
Yeah, just Amanda Horvath, H-O-R-V as in Victor, A-T-H. And then that quick start guide to video, once again, if you just go to the link in my bio, actually, you'll be able to find all of it. So
that's let me just write her Instagram name. It's Our Visions. So
A-H Visions, Amanda Horvath Visions.
Yeah, because if you don't add the S, you know, you're going to follow some other guy, because I just made a mistake earlier. I was sending like your name to somebody and I brought Our Vision without the S, and then it took me to another guy's page. So yeah, Our Vision with S. So yeah.
There you go.
Thank you very much. This video is going to be live, or this audio, I'm going to make it up like a podcast. It's going to be live on Aria World, and then tomorrow we'll post it and I'll share the link with you. Amanda, you can share with your audience also. So Cax Photography is asking, hope you also edit wedding videos. How does someone edit wedding videos?
Yeah, so I never, I prided myself on never doing wedding videography. I hated when people said, oh, you're a videographer, so you shoot weddings. And I'm like, nope. So actually a good resource for wedding videography, I think, write me. I'll remember their name, but they have like, really cool. Oh, Maddie Hapoya has some cool wedding videos, and he has like a course on it as well. Yeah. I just personally didn't want to do wedding videos, so
it's personal, so that's the reason. Thank you very much, Amanda. Have a good day and stay safe. Wash your hand, social distances, say no to coronavirus.
Yeah, you too. Stay safe. Have a good one.